And this is the Division IIA High School Football Championship, MIAA Playoffs. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram and a cast of thousands up here at Gillette Stadium, and it's awesome to be back here, as we will have Marblehead and Falmouth coming up in just a few minutes, as the Division IV game has just ended with Mashpee beating Wacona by a score of 34-13. Bill Newell is here, Tim Kearns is here, John Squires is here, and a lot of other people in the area as well. But we're getting ready for what should be a classic football game. You heard from a couple of guys, John McClone, or check out Rick McClone, who is a sports writer down in Falmouth, and also from Marblehead coach Jim Rudloff. And tonight, it is almost nighttime here at Gillette, as it will be. The Falmouth Clippers coming in with a record of 12-0. They are 24-10 overall under coach Derek Almeida in his third season. They have scored 497 points, allowed 154. And for the Magicians of Marblehead, coach Jim Rudloff is already in his eighth season, if you can believe that. He has 71 wins, 20 losses. The Magicians have scored 342 points and allowed 96. And coach, your first time up here high above field.
Well, thanks, Rick. Yeah, this is a little bit different. A little more nervous up here, I guess. it was fun being at all those games and being down on the sideline. But this is great too, and it's great to see Marblehead. And in case people don't know it, I come from Falmouth and I played quarterback there in 1966. We had an undefeated team with a lot of good players, and so I'm really interested in this game and a little bit torn as to, you know, Northeast Conference. I'd like to see them do well, but then again, Falmouth struggled over the last few years, so this would be great to see them have a state championship.
And there's a little bit different look here at Gillette. Also, if you've traveled to Gillette with any of Coach Ingram's teams from Gloucester, they were here 4 years in a row. Last time we were here was in 2010, and Paul winning three of those and three other championships, if I'm not mistaken here, with Coach Terry Silver in Gloucester. Is that right?
Yes. We didn't play here, but right. We won some state championships then, too.
Yeah, so a little bit different look as they've opened up only one side of the stands here at Gillette, and that is opposite the where the home side, where the press box would be. We're down to one corner, as you might have heard this morning when Bill was talking about it. So just one side of the stands has opened up. Now, is that Marblehead coming onto the field? Marblehead has their black jerseys, right?
Is that?
Yeah, this should be Falmouth.
Right, yeah.
And Falmouth will be on the near sides. So what they've got is they've got a big area in the middle of the field at the 50-yard line on the far side that separates the two towns. So it used to be you'd have everybody on one side,
right.
One school, one city, on the other, but now they're all on the same
side. Well, they have a game tomorrow, so maybe, cleaning it's a little bit easier when you don't have to do both sides.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You control the crowd a little bit better.
Yeah, so our earlier games, as you heard, East Boston beating St. Mary's this morning. St. Mary's with a lot of turnovers, losing 34-8 in the Division IIIA game. Mashpee winning in the Division IV game by a score of 34-13. We will take our first break of the afternoon here and get ready for some football. The lights are on now, finally. All the lights are on here at Sullivan. Bill cursed me in doing that. I knew I was going to say Sullivan Stadium. At Gillette. Bill and I go back to when it was Sullivan Stadium. We did do high school football games here. And we are waiting Marblehead to come onto the field, too. And Paul will tell us a little bit about how the warm-up action works here at Gillette. So we'll take our first break, and we will come back as we will have the Division IIA Championship between Marblehead and Falmouth coming up from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, the MIAA Championship Games.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up. Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sauk Asian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sauk Asian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SaukAsianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sauk Asian Sportswear is the place to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This game is brought to you by the Institution for Savings, your local community bank since 1821, with great rates, great service, and great people. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years with quality products and service, located in Lynn and at harringtontrophy.com. Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. The Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. The Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. Click on their banner on our website to access their respective news and sports coverage.
All right, so Tim corrects me, and I'm glad he did. We were here in 2012 for the Beverly... Beverly Natick. Who won the game? Natick. Beverly. I knew that. Was that the one they... let me get on task here. East Bridgewater beating St. Mary's earlier today. I think I said East Boston, according to Tim, so it's East Bridgewater, of course. All right, now we have both teams lining up for the introductions and the playing of the national anthem. And, Paul, maybe a little bit about what it's like to warm up when you come to the stadium as a high school team.
Well, the everything's planned, and you'll have somebody that actually takes your team, that's assigned to your team, and they take you every place that you're supposed to be so that it coordinates fairly well. So they drop you off at the bubble, and that's where you warm up, and that's where you have your coin toss. The home team has decided during the week they have a luncheon here, and decide who's going to be the home team and who's away, and they kind of go through the whole process then. But when you get here, you warm up in the bubble. Both teams are inside, and then you have someone lead you over to the stadium. And one of the problems that I found was that you don't know which direction the wind's blowing until you get over here. And the other thing is catching a punt and actually catching a ball in here is very different than a high school stadium.
Yeah.
So I always worry about catching punts, but they don't let you warm up at all inside here.
And the stands are probably 9 or 10 stories high up to the light towers.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so I can imagine.
It's cavernous.
Get a different perspective. It is. And even with both schools, and there are a lot of people here for both sides, you can see the Marblehead contingent has maybe... I don't know. Looks like it's pretty even, doesn't it, Coach?
Yeah, and, Falmouth hasn't been to this ever, mm-hmm. So I assume that a lot of people are going to come up from Falmouth. But it looks about even. It looks like a good crowd.
And the wind is blowing from the open end of the stadium, that's the north end of the stadium, directly to the south. So it will be behind the backs of one of the teams at all times today and into the face of the other as we get ready for this game to get underway. Looking at the scoring, Paul, the contrasting styles. Marblehead, multiple versatile offense. They can pass, they can run, they can option. Of course, they'll be missing one of their most important players, Harry Craig, who was huge on offense. In the North Reading game, he was spectacular on defense as well. And Falmouth, on the other hand, with the triple option. So some interesting offenses to watch.
Well, it certainly will be, and I think they both run the option, they both throw the ball well, and they both just run the ball well, and it's due to the quarterbacking on both teams. They're both very good quarterbacks and very smart football-wise, and they have good judgment, and the coaches probably have coached them, over the years, and, they're good decision-makers. But what should be interesting is Falmouth runs the traditional wishbone. Navy actually runs this offense, too. And I don't think Marblehead has ever faced anybody who's run this offense. So It's hard to replicate it in practice. And
what about, let's look at the other end of it. What about Falmouth running the triple option? How do they replicate or show the Marblehead
offense? Well, because Marblehead runs the spread, and a lot of teams run the spread, and so Falmouth's probably faced it numerous times. But the difference I see with Marblehead is their receivers are all tall. And Galley can certainly throw the ball, and they range from 6'1 to 6'6. So that should be a challenge for Falmouth to cover them, but it's also going to be a challenge for Marblehead to stop the option, because as I understand it, I haven't seen Falmouth on film, but they run it very well, and it's difficult to stop. And you have to play assignment defense where everyone is assigned a player and you have to make the tackle, because if you don't, if the field is spread and people can go the distance.
So. All right, we got the game coming up in just a minute.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been awarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Bradford Tavern Restaurant in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week. The restaurant features two separate function rooms, ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com. We hope to see you soon at the Bradford Tavern. The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities, because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
If you are interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
This game is brought to you in part by the Gloucester House Restaurant, offering the freshest seafood right off their boats to your plate. Sarkisian Sportswear, delivering quality team and corporate apparel, located on Route 1 South in Peabody, and at SarkisianSports.com. Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, preserving Lynn's past and promoting Lynn's future at 590 Washington Street. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance, delivering complete peace of mind. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, Rantoul Street, Beverly. Honeydew Donuts of Lynn, Salem, Malden, and East Boston.
All right, here we go. We're getting ready for the Division IIA Championship football game as Marblehead will be kicking off from left to right. And this game just about ready to get underway. It'll be Sam Paquette, of course, kicking off for the Magicians. And number 21, Mike LaFrange, is back in the middle, deep for the Falmouth Clippers. Falmouth 12-0, scoring 3 points shy of 500 points this year in 12 games. They are 12-0. Off to his left is Sam Koss. I'm guessing it's not Gates Kelleher. It is number 19, who is, I don't have. No, it's 24. I'm sorry. My eyes are bad. John Vasquez. So it's Vasquez to the right.
I always thought it was better to go defense first, especially figuring out the wind in here, especially if it's going, you know, from one end zone to the other. And the other thing I think that, you know, the speed that Falmouth runs the option, can Marblehead adjust to that speed? I will say that Marblehead is very quick on defense.
So we're still waiting. The ball is set. Paquette getting ready to go address it. And this time it's in the middle of the field. And he kicks it off to his right. It's going to come down to the 15-yard line. Fielded there to the 20, to the 25. Cutting it back toward the middle to the 30. And with the return is Sam Koss. Koss gets it out to about the 31-yard line where Falmouth will start. Let's see. They put it right at the 30. So we're just underway. 9:54 left to go. First play. And first play from scrimmage coming up, with Falmouth at their own 30. And again, that triple option, this is going to be a challenge to figure out who's got the ball. Nick Kuha gets the quarterback. He has over 700 yards rushing himself, 21 touchdown passes and only 3 interceptions. And they've got a wing off to the left, one running back behind the quarterback. And man in motion, he stops, and they're going to reset the offense.
So they're probably looking and seeing how Marblehead's lined up. Marblehead's in a 3-4 defense.
Vasquez split way to the left, and it's going to be kept by the quarterback. Big hole right side, cuts it across the 40, close to the 47-yard line. So,
well, there's your assignment football. Someone didn't account for the quarterback.
And they're right back to the line of scrimmage. The ball is at the 49. So right away, it's a 19-yard gain.
Huge split between the guard and the tackle.
And again, Koehig keeps it, goes to his left this time, and he goes across the 50 into Marblehead real estate to about the 48. So big yardage.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to take Marblehead a few plays to figure this out. But what's unique about it so far is the splits that between the guard and the tackle are maybe 2 yards.
Another 7 yards on that gain, so 21 yards on the first two carries by Koehig. And we're just underway. He is the quarterback with just one running back in the backfield. And that is Gates Kelleher set up behind him. Kelleher, I think, gets the handoff this time. He plows forward for what should be another first down inside the 45. Kelleher, 6 feet, 205. He's the fullback.
They keep you honest with the fullback. You got to stop the fullback dive.
He gets the first down with the ball at the Marblehead 45. First and 10. Ball between the hash marks, and it's the pro hash marks here, so the ball will be in pretty much the middle of the field the entire game. And in motion from right to left, and it's up the middle this time again, Kelleher to the 40. Falmouth just plowing its way forward on the ground right now. They're at the Marblehead 40, another 5 yards, second and 5. Clock moving, just underway, 8.5 minutes left to go, Division 2A championship game. Sun setting over Gillette, lights are on. Just the fullback set up behind. I love it when they put a man in motion. He stops abruptly and then kind of walks casually back to the left.
Well, this is a double. It's tight formation. It's a little different already than the other formations they've run.
And the pitch goes to running
rocket.
Back following Koss. And I think, it is LaFrange. Mike LaFrange following Koss. Doesn't get a whole lot that time. Probably the shortest game so far early on.
Well, that's just a straight pitch. That's the, it's called a rocket. No option there.
Where is the ball, boys? 36, maybe? 37?
40.
No, it's inside the 40, way inside the 40.
36.
Okay, hand off inside the 35 this time. We're going to give this one to Kelleher, I believe. Yeah, it's Kelleher with the carry. And another first down. Ball is at the Marblehead 33 after the 4-yard gain. So it's first and 10. Murphy, Levin, Jared Martino, Noah Rowell, Evan Alichalt up front. Back to pass is the quarterback, Koehig, looking over the middle. He's got a man open, and it's caught, and it is a touchdown.
Well, just a post pattern.
John Vasquez with the catch. And it's 6-0 Marblehead. Falmouth. Falmouth, 6-0. Vasquez with the over-the-shoulder led beautifully,
right, nice
33 yards
by the quarterback.
Yep.
Well, what they'll do is they'll run, 10 running plays, and then all of a sudden, you got to stay awake at cornerback and safety.
All right, so this is a point after attempt that looks like it goes through, and it is good. That is Colby Murphy with the point after, and it's 7-0 Falmouth.
So well, good way to start. It's I think it's going to take Marblehead a little bit of time to, you know, figure out how to defend this offense because they run it well.
So 7 plays, 70 yards. Falmouth marches right downfield starting from their own 30-yard line, and just 7 plays later, bang, they're into the end zone. So it's 7-0 Falmouth leading. Now, I don't know how much time there are between you know, the touchdown and the kickoff, so we'll hold it here to see what happens, and then we'll figure it out as we go along. But they look strong, Paul, on an opening drive.
Well, they do, and you know, we'll see how Marblehead looks against their, how Falmouth can stop Marblehead here.
All right, and so Colby Murphy will be kicking off from right to left. And I'm exaggerating a little bit because we're actually in an end zone, but we're going to pretend that we're at the 50. And Marblehead deploys 2 guys back deep. And let's see. One of them is Justin Fea. I don't have the number on the other guy. So what's the other number? Anyway, it's going to come down short, and I don't know. This might be recovered. It was an onside kick recovered by Falmouth. So disaster for Marblehead. Falmouth recovers it at their own 44. Check it, 49.
You know, I'm not sure it was an onside kick. One of the things you don't do is that front line of the offense, you let the ball, if it's hot, you let it go through to the next level because, well, he kind of punched it and it was right at one of the Marblehead players.
So Falmouth gets the ball at their own 49, already leading 7-0, 7:45 left to go, and here's a run up the middle.
It's a counter option by the quarterback.
He kept it. And Kuig gets it. Maybe, well, no gain. Looks like they're going to put him right back at the 49. No huddle for the offense as Falmouth. Aiden Gillis on the tackle. Thank you, Bill. Not used to that. That's awesome. And we're about 10 miles away here, which is pretty cool, too. But it's a great, great perspective. Run play sweep to the right side on the pitch for Falmouth. They get it inside Marblehead Real Estate. Down inside the 45, it looks like. Sam Koss with the carry. And they're going to put it right at the 40, so this should be a first down.
Well,
Koss with his first carry.
They've taken the both split ends and put them about 3 yards from the tackle. And they have the slot back right next to them. And they're getting around the corner on Marblehead.
10-yard gain. It's at the 41 of Marblehead. And they continue to drive. Marblehead has not run a play yet from scrimmage. And here's the quarterback, Kuig, keeping it, going to his left, inside the 40 to the 37. About a 4-yard gain.
Quick observation, versus that formation, the corners are really deep. And there you have to be the force player. They have to come up and stop that sweep.
Second and about 6 to go for the first down. The ball will be in the middle of the field as Falmouth is moving from right to left, but they're at the Marblehead 37. There's the start and stop once again. As in motion, Koss, and then he stops, and then he walks casually back to a left
wing. I think they're trying to see if Marblehead's playing man-to-man, because when he goes in motion, they're trying to see if they kick over.
There's a pitch to Koss, sweeping to the right, and he's going to be driven out of bounds after a couple of yards. Well, maybe to the 34. Let's see where they put it. Ball was at 37, and where is it now? At the 30. Boy, it's hard to tell from here. 33? About a 4-yard gain. So it'll be third. Or check it. Second. They give him the first down on that?
No, but it was third and inches.
Okay. Yeah, I know, but it's a little late sometimes. Yeah, I know. Thanks. John Squires, there's so many lights up here, and I'm being pointed as to where to get the information. So I'll get it right eventually. Ball is at the 32. It's a first down now. Was that Kuig on the run? And it is a first and 10 at the Marblehead 32. The drive continues. This will be the sixth play of the drive. Run play. Was this This is going to be stopped. Yeah. Yeah. Motion penalty on the offense, so we'll bring it back out to the 37. So it's first and 15 now for Falmouth. But this will be, let's see here, 7 and... This will be the 13th snap for Falmouth, and Marblehead hasn't touched the ball yet. 5:22 left to go, first quarter, Division 2A, Falmouth leading 7-0. John Vasquez, 33-yard pass reception from Kuig earlier on. First and 15, and in motion. Kuig turns around, he hands off, so it's Kelleher up the middle. No, it's Murphy. Murphy into the game. Colby Murphy, who's the kicker as well. And what does he get? Where's the ball at now? At the 33, so it's about a 4-yard gain. So it's second. They got it at the 29. All right. Let me correct that. Ball at the 29, so it is second and 12 after the 3-yard gain. So the original scrimmage was back to the 33, not the 37. Koss in motion. Back pass is Kuig looking to his left. Scrambling, throws it away.
I don't know about that.
Nobody to throw it to that time.
I guess he's out of the tackle box, so there's no call.
Oh,
but,
okay.
They're throwing it certainly a lot at Marblehead. Different formations, option. Now they're throwing the ball a little bit.
Third and 12 for Falmouth. Marblehead yet to stop the Clippers, and they need it here. Up front, Manning Sears, Christian Henniger, Bo Millett, Andy Clow. On defense, up front for Marblehead. Now they've got wideouts both sides of the field. Claw with one running back behind him. They check it. Kuig. Kuig hands off up the middle.
Well, good
not
defense.
Much, yeah.
All right. That's just that dive. So the Falmouth's playing a 3-4. So Marblehead's playing a 3-4. So there's a man over the center, and the tackles are covered, and two linebackers over the guard.
So the ball is it's at the 26, and it'll be fourth down and 8. And carrying the ball was Colby Murphy that time. He was in the fullback position. So now it's fourth and 8. Let's see what Kuig dials up on this one. Again, we'll have wideouts both sides of the field. Kuig's got the one running back behind him. And man in motion is Koss. Kuig fires it to the left. It's caught. No, it's dropped. Koss had it at the 20, lost it, and it's incomplete.
No,
and so Marblehead
stop.
Takes over.
Yeah, big stop for Marblehead. That's, of course, the penalty didn't help Falmouth at all.
And it wasn't Koss, it was Vasquez, who was the intended receiver. And so finally, Marblehead gets its hands on the ball, and we'll see what Drew Galley and company can do.
Well, not to panic here, too. I mean, it's only 7-0, so let's see what Marblehead can do.
Pass was actually defended well by Marblehead that time. All right, here's a quick outlet pass to the left for Marblehead and a first play from scrimmage. Now, the line of scrimmage is the 26, and Galley is complete. I think it's over to Lopez. I'm not sure. But I think they don't get anything. So no gain on that one. Marblehead right back. Them working a little bit more quickly than usual. They've got wideouts left and right. Drew Galley is the quarterback. He's looking to his right, shoots it over the middle. It is complete at the 37-yard line to Derek Marino. And I think that's a first down.
Well, as I mentioned, the Marblehead's got very good receivers. Galley's certainly a very accurate thrower, makes good decisions, but the size of the receivers is it's a lot easier to throw it to a taller receiver, that is a short one.
Ball is out to the 38, 12-yard gain. Faya was a man who caught the first pass, so Galley right now is 2-for-2. Here's a run play that's going to go to the right, and that is Jason Lopez gets it near the 45. I'll check it near, yeah. He did get it across the 40. It's at the 40, right at the 40, so only a 2-yard gain after all that. So first carry for Jason Lopez. He was hurt in the North Reading game, and Sam Frontiero filling in admirably, but Lopez is back. 5'8", 170, and he is a senior. Only a 2-yard gain, second down. This time Lopez goes to the other side, to the left, stringing it out is the Falmouth defense, and allows him maybe a yard. That's it.
Well, the receivers from Arblehead are not holding their blocks long enough. The Falmouth defenders on the outside is defeating the block and making the tackle.
So it'll be third and seven for the Magicians, and they're taking their time looking at the sidelines now to see what the call is. They're going to split the field with two receivers out to the right, two to the left, and one running back in the backfield with Galley. Man in motion is Marino. Galley is under some pressure now, trying to scramble. Shoots it complete to the left, and it's at the 50 down to the 45-yard line. Paquette with the reception.
Great play by Galley. I mean, running to his left and finding the open receiver.
Big play by Paquette in there as a receiver. It's all the way to the Falmouth 45, I believe it is. 43 is where they put it. So it's a 14-yard gain, and this time Galley has to throw it away under a pursuit.
Well, it appears that Coach Rudloff is going into this game thinking they can throw against Falmouth, and they've proven they can. But you really need to run the ball, too.
125 yards of offense so far for Falmouth. This is the first drive for Marblehead after the incompletion. It's at the Falmouth 43-yard line. 7-0 is the score. Falmouth on top, taking the opening drive all the way. A minute 32 left to go in the first quarter. On MSO New Sports, pitch to the running back. It's Lopez sweeping the left, and he's going to be stopped short of the first down at about the 35.
All right, they ran a bunch formation where the all three receivers were in tight and then lateraled the ball to Lopez. So they had good blocking angles.
Mike LaFrange on the tackle for Falmouth. It's third down and one for the first down. Keeper by Galley. He is slammed at the line of scrimmage. Whoa. And does not get the first down. And he is not getting up. Galley's okay now. He sprints up on his feet. Galley was just hammered on that play by Gates Kelleher.
I think it was an option, and I think he made the wrong choice.
Whoa. Yeah. Wow, I'll say. Mercy.
16.
So the ball is at the 35. It'll be fourth down, and still one to go for the first down. So Galley, the quarterback, with Lopez. Lopez is 7 or 8 yards off the line of scrimmage. Galley gets up under center. He keeps it, tries to go forward. Mm-mm.
Boy.
Mm-mm-mm. Didn't get it. Falmouth first down. Did not get it.
Yeah,
so Falmouth takes over.
It's unusual. I don't think I've seen Marblehead do that before.
So Falmouth takes over at their own 35-yard line, leading by a score of 7-0 with 18 seconds left to go in this first quarter. And Marblehead defending now as Falmouth is moving from right to left. Koig pitches to a running back, sweeping to the left, trying to cut it outside, and that's LaFrange dancing around the 35 or 36-yard line. LaFrange might have gotten 1 yard.
Well, from that formation, Falmouth runs the rocket, and I saw the corner lined up a little bit different for Marblehead on that and was able to contain it.
Aiden Gillis with the tackle, and Gillis has been on a number of tackles already so far, and that ends. They give him 4 yards on that. Wow. So that ends the first quarter with Falmouth leading here in the Division 2A championship game from Gillette by a score of 7-0. We'll be back.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
If you're thinking of renovating your home, please talk to the experienced sales staff at Moynihan Lumber. That's 82 River Street in downtown Beverly. Or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com. Or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
So we come back for the second quarter with Falmouth leading by a score of 7-0, and it's a four-yard gain for Kuig on the, check it for LaFrange on the last play of the first quarter as the Marblehead cheerleaders scurry off the field. And we get ready for the next 10-minute quarters here at Gillette. The Super Bowl turnovers go very quickly, and we're going to have to wrap up and get out of here very quickly, as another radio station will be coming in here very shortly, as soon as the game is over.
So it appears that some of the Mashpee players are sticking around to watch the Falmouth.
Didn't you say that Mashpee?
Right. Mashpee used to go to Falmouth High School, and now they have their own high school and a very successful football program.
Hayden Gillis, a linebacker, in on a number of tackles already for Marblehead on defense. Christian Henniger anchoring that line up front on defense. Nick Kuig, though, is the quarterback, and he keeps it
Dive.
Yeah, couple.
And that fullback dive, so.
Was it the fullback?
Yeah.
All right, so it'll be a short gain.
43.
That's Kelleher. Gates Kelleher with the gain. And it's no gain, I guess.
Yeah, 43.
I put it at the 41, so it's a two-yard gain. So it's third down and 4 for Falmouth. Kuig wants the pass, fires it off to the left. It's covered and incomplete, as it was covered nicely intended out there for Vasquez once again. He's the prime target, and it was covered nicely by Marblehead defense Jason Lopez on D. And again, we're missing Harry Craig. Won't be playing today, and Harry out with an injury. Big on offense and defense for Marblehead. A couple of interceptions in the Big North Reading game, I believe. So it'll be fourth down for Falmouth.
Rick, I think Marblehead's getting used to the speed of Falmouth, and which is typical in a game.
Interesting. All right, there's our first punt of the game. Lopez is going to catch it at the 24-yard line and go to his left to the 30, and he's going to be buried right there at the 32. But not bad field position, and no trouble handling the punt, Paul.
No, fine. Did a good job.
Mm-hmm. So it's a total of 6 yards, 131 yards of offense right now for Falmouth to only 39 for the Magicians. But they'll get the ball for the second time at their own 31. And we have 9:20 left to go. First half, Falmouth leading 7-0.
So Marblehead calls the plays from the sideline. They have some of the backup quarterbacks have cards.
Trips up to the right, but it's a draw play to Lopez right up the middle. Back to the line of scrimmage. That's it. Stop right there. No gain. So it'll be second and 10 for the Magicians. They put Paquette in the slot. Tackled by Gates Kelleher. He's been big already in this game on defense. Going out way wide to the left is Justin Fea. We got twins off to the right with two men in the backfield, man in motion. And Manning, a check at the quarterback, Galley, has to run with it. He's under some terrific pressure. He throws it out of bounds, just getting it off as he was tackled.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know if he was out of bounds before he threw it, but...
Did get away with it, though, so it'll be second and 9. He was looking to go way downfield, but his receiver was covered, I think, by that time. So Marblehead facing a 7-0 deficit in this first half from the first possession by Falmouth, looking at a 3rd and 9 from their own 32-yard line on the right hash mark. Galley now back in shotgun with Lopez with him, trips to the left. Galley wants to look to the right, pumps. Has to scramble now. He's going to be hit and clobbered.
Yeah.
Back at the 27, it looks
like. They had a screen pass set up, and it's a right-handed quarterback, and the screen was to his right, and so he's facing that way, and they were holding up the receiver.
So it's all the way back to the... What was that?
Falmouth... personal foul on Falmouth.
Wow.
Face mask.
Ball was already back.
His kick got the tackle.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. James Lavin made the terrific sack.
Oh, you can see it, you know, on the replay. He really
got the face mask. I thought his head snapped around there kind of weird. Galley's. And Galley's been pummeled so far in this game. So instead of it going back to the 21-yard line for a 10-yard loss, the Magicians get a first down out of it, or do they?
Yes,
it's a 5-yard gain, but I guess they're going to give him the first down. So actually, it's a 4-yard gain. So they gain 4 yards, but they do get a new set of downs. Lopez with the handoff, sweeping to his left. Not much there. Gets a couple, if anything, maybe one.
Well, that's a stretch play to the sideline, and the running back just kind of reads the opening. But Falmouth's done a good job, both against the run and the pass.
Going to put it to the 39, so Lopez gets a couple. Second and 8. Sky's darkening overhead, but the bright lights here of Gillette Stadium. Beautiful, beautiful ballpark with all the blue and red seats. Galley looking to his right. He's going to unleash it. Double coverage down there, and it's incomplete.
You're right, Rick. It was. You could see the corner and the safety closing on that pass. And
intended receiver was Manning Sears down there. But, yeah, there was actually almost 3 guys on him. Sam Koss breaking it up for Falmouth. Another incompletion, 3rd in a row by Galley. And now it's 3rd down and 8 for...
I always thought Marblehead, the outside screens were tough to cover. And they ran one, but...
Paquette is in motion, fires it over the middle. Ball is tipped. He had a man open, but not able to get it to him, and so it'll be 4th down. Cutting across the middle.
Yeah, he was wide open.
Yeah, it was Derek Marino. And it'll be 4th down. Magicians will have to give it up. So nothing on that particular offensive series. Paquette back at his own 25, rather. He'll get away from about the 30. It's a good snap. And it's a good high kick going off to the right, hitting at the Falmouth 30, rolling inside the 20, down to the 15. Nobody back there for Falmouth. And in a position...
Well, the receiver was back, but he was only back about 20 yards, and so it went right over his head.
So Marblehead gains field position anyway, pushing the ball back to the Falmouth 15-yard line. And 7:29 left to go in the half. We're looking at Falmouth still leading 7-0. Early on, at 7:47 of the first quarter, it was Vasquez, 33-yarder from Kuig.
I'd say at this point in time, Rick, that I'm impressed with Falmouth's defense right at this point. Marblehead's got a really explosive offense, and they've really struggled to move the ball.
45 yards of offense so far for Marblehead. Play up the middle. Murphy with the carry. Colby Murphy gets a couple to about the 17, it looks like.
No, Falmouth runs the midline option, and what they do is they double-team the nose man, and they dive the fullback, and the quarterback reads the tackle. No one blocks a defensive tackle. If he comes down, he pulls it, and the quarterback keeps it.
Give him 1 yard. Pitch to a running back around the left end. He runs into his own blocker and still manages to get the first down. It looks like out to about the 30.
It's impressive. I mean, they're pitching the ball to the left, which your right-handed quarterbacks don't like to do.
I have no idea who carried the ball. LaFrange? Yep. Here's the replay. Yep, it is Mike LaFrange with the carry. Gets the first down. That's huge. As Falmouth was way back at their 15. Gets it out to the 30. On the 16-yard, check at the 14-yard first down run. This time nothing. Kuig?
They're still testing the waters in the middle of the field, but Marblehead's doing a great job on that fullback dive.
Another tackle by Aiden Gillis. Looks like it's no gain. Really staying at the 30. Call it 2nd and 10. They give him a yard on the scoreboard. I'm not going to give it to him. 2nd and 10. As Falmouth continues to run that clock down now. 6:19 left to go in the first half. Clippers leading 7-0. Kuig looking things over. Checking the defense. And actually looking to the sidelines for the play. As the line was set. Now they get ready again with a man in motion. It's Koss in motion. It's LaFrange who gets the handoff, cuts the corner, gets the first down, and stays in bounds right around midfield. Wow, he's shifty and fast. First down for LaFrange, right out at the 50. Tackled by Tyrese Hardy for Marblehead. And it's his first and 10 right at the 50, or I guess it's 1 yard shy of that. It's at the 40, 49. So another 19 yards.
Well, they go in motion really quick, so the defense can't, or the secondary at least, can't kick up.
They spread the field. Man in motion. Koig wants to throw. He's got a man wide open, downfield, caught at the 16-yard line of Marblehead for a beautiful play. First down, nice fingertip reception by Trent Leachman. He's a senior, and he was led beautifully by Koig. Wow.
Now the secondary just has to stay awake.
Ball is at the 19. 30-yard gain. And this play is busted up after about a 1 yard gain on the run. It is Kelleher with the carry. Do they give him a yard? They do not. Oh, yeah, they do. To the 16, they give him 3 yards. So Falmouth keeps moving it forward. 5 minutes left to go. Headed to the end zone. They're on the 15, leading 7-0. Koig handoff, inside handoff up the middle. Gets a couple more yards to about the 11. Was it Kelleher again?
Yeah, the fullback. Yeah,
yep.
You know what? In this offense, you want a bullet fullback.
And
you
he
know,
is
a guy, probably over 200 pounds, who just hits the hole real quick and will drag people.
It's at the 11, third and three.
205 pounds.
How much?
205.
205 for the fullback. Bowling ball. All right. So, again, Koig under center with running back right up tight to him. And he hands it off, but driven backwards this time by the Marblehead defense. So not much of a gain, if anything. Kelleher with the carry. Was it Gillis again? Aiden Gillis, who's been a force on defense for Marblehead, blows that play up. Gets a yard, though, to the 10. And so now it is fourth and two. Our spotter, Tim Kearns, is saying 5 solo tackles for Aiden Gillis. Did I get that right?
In the first quarter.
In the first quarter? Okay. So Gillis continuing to rack him up on defense. But now here we go. 4th down and 2 for Falmouth at the 10-yard line of Marblehead. Koig, handoff, keeps it, follows the block, gets the first down, and goes down to about the 4 or 3.
Well, that's that midline option where they... put the ball, the fullback dives, they put the ball in, but then they pull it back out, and the quarterback basically follows them.
Yeah, well, the right side of that Falmouth line, too, just blowing off the line of scrimmage. There's a run play up the middle, and it's a touchdown, LaFrange. Oh, no, it's Kelleher. Kelleher, 43, gets the touchdown, and it's 13-0, Falmouth. So Kelleher finishes off a 10-play, 85-yard touchdown drive by the Clippers, and they now have 216 yards of total offense to 45 for Marblehead. Murphy will go for the point after, and he puts it through, and it's 14-0. So a very impressive first half so far for the Falmouth Clippers.
That's a good complement of plays, too. I mean, the fullback, the pitches, and the passing game. So, you know, they're attacking in all different ways, and it's hard if they're strong in all those spots to stop them.
So 3:20 left to go in the first half, and Falmouth is up now by 2 touchdowns, leading 14-0, and they've got some offense cooking right now as they've got 216 yards of total offense to only 45 for the Magicians. Nothing working on offense yet for Marblehead. And I say yet because I'm not sure it's going to stay that way. However,
interesting note, Rick, is that Derek Almeida, the head coach, his father's on the staff. His father was
mm-hmm.
the head coach at Falmouth for a while years ago and a very successful coach at Fairhaven.
Don't forget to check out MSO News Sports every day for local North Shore Ready newscasts with Bill Newell and me on our North Shore Today post, plus other information, photos, and other stuff. fielded at the 14 by the Magicians, bringing it out to the 20, all the way out to the 30 with a pretty decent return as Justin Fea gets Marblehead out to about the 34. And so let's see if Marblehead can get anything going now. Trailing 14 to nothing at the 35. 3:15 left to go, first half. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, Bill Newell, John Squires, Tim Kearns, all covering this game. Twins to the left, Twins to the right. One man in the backfield. I think that's Frontero. It is. Galley straight back to pass. Shoots it to the left. Man open, but it's thrown a little too wide. And that'll be another incompletion. I think it's like five in a row, but that's Manning Sears, who was the intended receiver.
Well, he had good protection, and he just missed the open receiver. But if he gets time, he's certainly deadly.
Derek Marino, the other receiver. We've got a wide out way out to the right side, but it's a stacked die front here. Up the middle, there he goes. He breaks it through to the 40. Still on his feet to the 50, breaking more tackles.
Oh,
he's
great run.
Still with it inside the Falmouth 45-yard line. First and 10, Marblehead.
Well, that's what they needed. And, you know, he's a little bit more of a downhill runner than Lopez, so he might be more valuable.
15-yard gain for Frontero. Trying to sweep to the left. Cuts it back to the right. Stop. This time it's going to be a loss. We'll lose a yard or two.
Falmouth is very quick to the football, and their pursuit angles are good. And, you know, what hurts that is some kind of counterplay.
Looks like it's going to be maybe a one-yard loss for Sam Frontero back to the 46 of Falmouth. Second and 11. And this time it's a run play. No, it's a pass, and it's complete. And we have a flag, penalty marker down.
Well,
ball was caught by Andy Clough.
Lineman downfield, I assume, the way it, where it's thrown or holding.
Clough caught the ball, went out of bounds.
I believe it's holding.
He said 85 on the reception. That would be Marino. Yep, holding on the offense. Bring it back. So I thought, how can I mistake those numbers? Anyway, thought that was Clough who caught the ball. Yep, holding against Marblehead, going to bring it way back to the Magician 45-yard line.
Clough's 6'6", right?
Mm-hmm.
So
I thought that was
the perspective up here is a little bit.
Yeah,
high.
I thought that was he, the big tall guy. He's wearing number 13. Yeah, I could have sworn it was him, but the stadium announcer said it was Marino, and I didn't see the replay. All right, handoff. Galley with the man in motion, sweeping. It's a an end around.
Oh boy, they're going to call
and another penalty coming up after a short gain by Derek Marino. Actually, he got about 10 yards, but this will be coming back.
Oh. Coach Rudloff's going to be going crazy here.
Well, I've neglected the clock, too. The time is down to 2:19 now in this first half. And so this will bring it back even more, depending upon where the holding is. Waiting for our official to figure this out for us. And still waiting. Coach Rudloff asking, where is the ball? Actually, that looks like that looked like Coach Goodhue. So we're still waiting. The referee gesticulating, saying, I don't know. Got his hands up in the air, holding.
Well, probably the question was, do we really want to take the penalty or not?
Spot foul. So now Marblehead is being moved back inside their 45 to the 43. So it's only a net yard, two-yard loss. Oh, no, I'm sorry, but that was from the Falmouth, right? Falmouth. No, they moved it back after the penalty. So, yeah, that's only a two-yard loss after that one. So it's second and, what does that say, 29? Long way to go. Clock moving, and there's the two-minute. Well, it's going to keep on moving. Inside 2 minutes.
There's no sense of urgency here. But
no.
They want to score, and they can kick a field goal. They got a good kicker, so.
Second and 29 for the Magicians. Galley with an end-around reverse. This may get something. It's Marino again. He gets it across the 50 to about the 47 or 46-yard line.
Well, nice play by the Falmouth defender, but that's kind of what they need to do. Run some kind of counterplays.
Well, that was a counter. Everybody was rolling to the right. Mm. Galley had a back with him rolling to the right. Looked like he was going to pitch it. But then coming in the other direction was Marino. And he gets it to the Falmouth 45. So that's a 12-yard gain. And so now it is third and about 14. Galley has Lopez with him, but Galley wants to pass. Throws it way downfield, looking for Fair to get under it. Just overthrown.
Too.
Thea had his man beaten, but it was about a yard too far.
Well, they kicked the Falmouth kicked their secondary over to the wide side of the field, and the was one-on-one on this side, and Galley recognized it, and he had him, but overthrew.
14-0. Falmouth leading, 4th and 14 for the Magicians. Paquette back in punt formation at his own 40. 1:35 left to go in the half. Paquette gets the right foot into it. It's going to hit at the 25, roll forward to the 15, to the 10, to the 9-yard line. So another good punt by Paquette. Marblehead seemed to have a rhythm going there, but the penalties just threw him out of sync.
They're awful. Yeah, two in a row. And
so a net 20 yards on that possession.
Now they just, you know, calling plays too. It, you know, you're just kind of reaching for things, and that's not a good feeling for a play caller.
So, Falmouth will start now at their own 10-yard line, is where the ball is set. Kuig is the quarterback. 1:24 left to go. Run play up the middle. Oh, no, it's not. Was that Kuig?
No, it's
Murphy.
It's
tackled by Sam Frontero. Maybe a 1-yard gain to the 11.
I don't know if they're going to be pitching the ball or throwing the ball down here. I would be satisfied with a 14-0 lead and not take any chances.
Ball is actually at the 13, so it's a 3-yard gain. 2nd and 7, clock moving, 57 seconds left. Falmouth now back in a huddle.
Yeah, I think they're going to let it run out.
Yeah, just taking their time. Coach Almeida on the sideline. Kuig brings the team up there in all white, by the way, with red trim. Marblehead in all black with the red trim. And there's a sweep to the right, and it's going to get good yardage out to the 25. Well, the 20, maybe it's just a 20. Sam Koss with the carry. And the clock is moving, 25 seconds. Got to see where the ball is placed. We have a bad angle here. It's at the 20, it looks like. That was a, well, they're going to put it at the 19, so it is 3rd and 1, and Marblehead will take the timeout. 15 seconds left to go in this first half. A couple of touchdowns by Falmouth, and that's been it. Although Falmouth has had the certainly the better of the offensive play. Tremendous crowd here at Gillette, and just a great venue. Half the stadium open. That would be the side opposite us, and the lower, what do you call that? The lower seats are absolutely full with a split. Big wedge down between Falmouth on our right and Marblehead on our left.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of people thought that because of the television that a you know, people would stay home, but it doesn't appear today. Tonight, it there's a great crowd.
And what does it mean, Paul, to have people come that far?
Yeah, especially, you know, I'll tell you, the cheering, you know, sometimes for the other team doesn't feel so good, but certainly for your team and having your fans there, it really is. It adds to the experience. And I should say, too, was I always told the kids to kind of take a moment, look around, and enjoy this, because it probably is not going to happen again.
Falmouth with the deep maroon helmets, it looks like, and the big white F on it. They're going to take it. No, they're going to just plow it forward. Did not take a knee, but they had a goal line.
They don't want Marblehead to call another timeout and then have to punt. So I think they got the first down.
Get the first down. Coig, the keeper. Clock stopped at 13 seconds.
I believe Coig's got a partial scholarship to BC for baseball as a pitcher.
Yep. And that'll do it as the first half comes to a close. And it is a 14-0 lead for Falmouth in the Division 2A MIAA Championship football game from Gillette Stadium. We'll take a break and talk at halftime about this one. We'll be back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill. At the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever you plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, this is Saka Sarkisian, owner of Sarkisian Sportswear, located on Route 1 South in Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor that can handle all of your team's or company's uniform and apparel needs. So stop by and visit us at 182 Newbury Street in Peabody to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
All right, we're back, and it is halftime from Gillette Stadium, and I almost said it again, but I'm not going to. I'm not even going to say it. With Falmouth leading by a score of 14-0. John Vasquez from quarterback Kuig with a 33-yard touchdown reception to open up this game. Seven plays, 70 yards for the Falmouth Clippers. 7:47 left to go in the first quarter, and it was Falmouth 7-0 on the pass. Beautiful pass by Nick Kuig. And then only touchdown of the second quarter, a 10-play, 85-yard touchdown drive by Falmouth that finished off with Gates Kelleher pumping it in from 3 yards away, and on each occasion, Colby Murphy getting the point after. So at 3:20 left to go in the half, it is 14-0 Falmouth, and that's where we ended up. And of note, 226 yards of total offense for Falmouth to this point, 65 yards of total offense for Marblehead. The Falmouth band is down on the field right now. We can't hear them because they're pointed away from us, and we're so far away. But it's just so much fun to be here. Coach, I don't know, what's your impression so far?
Well, you know, Falmouth's offense coming into the game was their strength. But what I've been impressed with is their defense, to be quite honest. I mean, their offense is impressive, obviously. But, you know, Marblehead's a tough team to defend, and Falmouth's doing a really good job. They've got some good tacklers. And they seem confident in what they're doing and in their game plan. The other thing about Falmouth too is you know, they're putting the ball up in the air too. They, you know, I don't even know if they have to, but they've made some big pass plays, which certainly has helped them score. But you know, Marblehead defensively has been a little bit stingy. I mean, you know, Falmouth's had to work for their touchdowns, which is a good thing. In but. Boy, they just really, you know, as a offensive coordinator, you hate to be in this type of game where you're really not sure how you can successfully keep moving the ball. I mean, you get a big play here and there, but then you get two plays, you get nothing, and you start reaching for plays. Mm-hmm. So hopefully Marblehead will go in and settle down and see how Falmouth is playing them and come up with a set of plays that they believe will work. I mean, I used to always go in and say, okay, I'm going to run this, you know, rather than, because you have a ton of plays and you just have to narrow it down to what you think the kids can execute. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, Marblehead is making Falmouth work, which is good. And hopefully Marblehead get on the board here soon and see what happens.
Well, you mentioned the defense, and for Falmouth in particular, a couple of guys have stood out so far. Mike LaFrange, Gates Kelleher, we're used to hearing their names on offense, but they have stood out on defense. Also, James Lavin, he's up front. He plays linebacker. I check at a defensive end. He's 6'1", 225, playing bigger than that. A lot of tackles and a lot of busting up the line, and he is a senior. And on the other side for Marblehead, they've been playing very well as well with Christian Henniger anchoring the line along with Bull Millett, Andy Clough, and Manning Sears. But Aiden Gillis at linebacker has been a standout so far, breaking up making a number of saving tackles, playing terrific defense for the Magicians.
Well, on defense, what you want is speed and quickness and good tacklers, and both teams have that. And that was the concern. I knew Marblehead had that, but I wasn't sure how good Falmouth would be on defense. But they're tough, and they're be able to cover, the passing game, to stop the plays up the middle, and stop Lopez to the corner.
Well, John Squires has gotten the official stats for us, coach, and I'm off a little bit on the total yards. Falmouth has 197, and Marblehead 72, so I'm off by a couple of yards. Rushing yards for Falmouth, 131. They've passed for 66, as Kuig is 2 out of 5. 10 first downs to only 4 for Marblehead.
Right.
And that's huge. Third down conversions, I don't know what that means in high school, but let's talk about it. 3 for 7 for Falmouth, 1 for 5 for Marblehead. And I guess if you're on the short end of that, that's when it makes a big difference. Fourth downs, Falmouth has converted 1 of their 2, and Marblehead is 0 for 1. Nobody turned the ball over, and which is kind of interesting when you have a game of this magnitude and the jitters. We heard this in this morning's game, all the turnovers that took place in the first minute or so.
St. Mary's had 7 turnovers.
Yeah, 2 in the first minute.
Right. Well, I guess you could, I don't know, the kickoff where it bounced off one of the Marblehead players, I don't know, that might be counted slightly as a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
But, looking at this too, the penalties, 2 for 20 for mm-hmm. Falmouth and 2 for 20 for Marblehead. But Marblehead's ones were crucial. They just started to move the ball, and then they continued to move the ball, but it was 2 penalties in a row. So that was tough. But, sometimes mentally you got to feel like you can move the ball, and they did. So, cut down on the penalties, and hopefully they can get the ball in the end zone.
You talk about the Falmouth offense too, Paul. Look at those stats. LaFrange, 37 yards and 4 carries. Kuig, 33 yards and on 6 carries. Kelleher, another 22 yards. Let's see here. On 8 carries. Cost 24 yards on 4 carries, Murphy 15. So they have spread it around with LaFrange and Kuig leading the way.
Yeah. Well, that's what I ran the wing T, and we always felt like, you can maybe stop the fullback, but you're not going to stop the halfback and the wingback. You know, it's tough when all those guys are contributing. And you look at Lopez, 15 yards, Marino 20. And,
mm-hmm.
Frontero had the big run, but other than that, they've been pretty much shut down.
Yep, and also the fact that Galley has not been able to get on track in passing. He's 3 out of 10 passing, and we're not used to seeing that. We're used to seeing much higher percentage and a lot more yardage. And Drew Galley, a very smart kid at quarterback, but Falmouth is just, shutting the door at every turn. Well, why don't we take a break, coach, and get ready for the second half here with Falmouth leading this one by a score of 14-0. Vasquez and Kelleher, the touchdowns for Falmouth. So we will take a break, and we'll come back.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydew's flavors of the fall today.
Don't forget, MSO News Sports is your spot for live local winter sports broadcast of high school hockey and basketball. And that's coming up in just a matter of a couple of weeks. So, we are just getting ready for the start of the second half as Falmouth has returned to the field. We've given you our statistical update and our opinion of what's going on here. And now it's just a matter of who's going to do what in the second half. And Marblehead needs some kind of a spark. They need something to get their offense going. And it probably makes sense to try to keep the ball away from Falmouth, too, because they are, time of possession drives. They've had two long drives, one of 7 plays, 70 yards, the other 10 plays, 85 yards.
Yeah, well, you're right there, too, but Falmouth can certainly eat up the clock. It's halftime here. They give you a 12-minute halftime, and you really, you don't cover the bare bones, of what's going on. So, but, you do what's got you here, and you're not going to change too much. And I wanted to say, I've been impressed with, from this view vantage where we are, you can see the pass routes, and Falmouth's doing a really good job covering the receivers. So Marblehead might want to go to some stop routes, where they, he's not having to hit a moving target. Usually you're a lot more accurate in those kind of passes and get some confidence going here.
Well, Colby Murphy is ready to kick this sucker off, but there's nobody down on the other end yet as Marblehead still huddled up on the sidelines. Does it make a difference shaving a minute off of a quarter from 11 to 10? Does that make any difference?
I think it does. The game goes by so fast here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have Faya back deep for Marblehead along with Lopez as Murphy is ready to kick the ball off from right to left with Falmouth leading 14-0. And this time it's an end-over-end kick. It's short. It's going to be taken by Lopez at the 25. Cuts it to his right to the 30 and tackled from behind at the 32. So it is first down Marblehead from their own 32, trailing 14-0. Let's see if they get some kind of offensive going here. Dugally is the quarterback, of course, and he's got Jason Lopez in the backfield with him. Harry Craig not able to play in this game. Twins out to the left, one receiver out to the right, two in the backfield. Handoff to the running back, and it's going to be carried forward to about the 35. Guessing that's Frontero. I don't know who carried the ball.
It might have been Lopez.
Was it number, who gets up last
23,
here?
23, I believe. Yeah, it was okay. Lopez. And, you know, he just hasn't gotten any room. And
give it to the 35, maybe a three-yard gain, second and seven. This Galley on the keeper gets it out to the left side, breaks a tackle out to the 40. Nice run by Galley. And Marblehead needed that, first down. No, not quite a first down. A couple more to go.
Right, nice run. He's, you know, he's not a big kid, but he's tough to tackle. Third makes quick movements, and people miss.
Third down and two. No, I stole your roster. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. Okay, it is third and two for Marblehead on their first series in the second half. Big play coming up here. Shotgun formation. Handoff. Uh-oh.
Boy.
I don't think they got anything.
You know, the linebacker, what happens is Marblehead blocks the defensive line, and there's a hole there, and the linebacker has to fill. And, boy, the Falmouth linebacker filled.
That's Kelleher again. And
look,
it's Lopez.
See him?
Yep.
See him? That's you can see on the replay.
Kelleher. It's a loss. Well, right at the 40. So Lopez gets nothing, and Gates Kelleher another tackle. Here's a punt by Paquette that's going to hit at the 25-yard line, roll inside the Falmouth 10 to the 5-yard line. All the way down to the 5, so it's first and 10 from the 5 for Falmouth.
Well, the back there, putting back to catch the punt, is so shallow, and the ball just goes over his head. It's, I don't know if there's a reason for that, having him so short. You really don't want the ball to roll out to the 5-yard line.
So it's first and 10 for Falmouth as they get the ball for the first time in the second half with 8:20 left to go in the third quarter. The Clippers taking over from their own 5-yard line, and that hasn't stopped them before. They had it at the 15 to start a drive that they marched downfield for a touchdown. Nick Kuig is the quarterback. Sam Koss, Gates Kelleher, Colby Murphy, Mike LaFrange at the skill positions. And it's Kelleher who busted out for a couple out to maybe the 8 or 9. They're going to put it at the 9. So right away they get 4 yards, positive yardage.
Yeah, even when it looks like they're not getting anything, mm-hmm. it's 4 yards.
Yep.
I mean, he's got his shoulder square to the line of scrimmage, and he's falling forward. He's not getting put on his back.
One man in the backfield. This is a pitch to LaFrange sweeping the left, trying to get a block, and instead he's going to be dragged down for no gain, and there's a penalty on the on the play. Lopez making the tackle right at the 9.
That might be a chop block.
That was a good defensive play, too, by Lopez.
It was.
Finally stopping LaFrange, not letting him turn the corner.
Right, that's what it was, a chop block.
So that'll put it back to the 4.
First down, I believe it's second down.
Second down, yeah.
Second down, right. Yeah, they took the legs out of the defender for Marblehead, and depends on where you come from, when you can block below the waist.
Well, it's at the 5, is where they put it. So it's second down. Second down at the almost the original line of scrimmage. So call it second and 10. Second and 10, and Gates Kelleher, the only running back in the backfield, a couple of yards behind the quarterback, Kuig, with a man in motion. Kuig hands it off to Kelleher. He blasts it up the middle, but stopped at the 10-yard line by the right side of the Marblehead defense.
That looked like a trap, so looked like one of the guards pulled and trapped one of the defensive linemen.
81-57. Manning Sears in on the tackle. And, yep, Hardy also in on the tackle. Thank you. And it's at the 10, so it's a 5-yard gain. It'll be third and 5.
This is that formation they've been running the rocket out of.
They start the play and then they stop it. And
well, I think they're seeing the reaction of the defense before, and that's why they do that motion.
Pretty interesting. There's a pitch to Koss, trying to go to the right. Halfback option. Nope, he keeps it, gets the first down and more. 25, 30, out of bounds, past the 30-yard line, close to the 35. First down, Falmouth on a big third down play.
Well, from that formation, that tight double slot, that's what they've run. They reach block everybody, and they get to the corner.
Derek Marino was the last man back there and forced Koss out of bounds. Ball is out to the 30, 20-yard gain on a third and 5. And so it's first down for Falmouth. They continue to drive, holding on to the ball, and they have a 14-point lead. Two touchdowns in the first half, one by Vasquez and the other by Kelleher. First and 10 for Falmouth.
This is where they become really dangerous because now they'll throw the ball.
Mm-hmm. Kuig on the option pitches it back to a running back. He just has to cut the corner. Lafrange, he gets 10 out to the 40, 41-yard line. Just like that. First down for Falmouth.
Well, that's that triple option to the left. And like I said before, right-handed quarterbacks don't like to pitch the ball going to the left with their left hand, but they run it with confidence.
First and 10 at the 42 after a 12-yard gain. Kuig looking things over, looking to Coach Almeida on the sidelines for the play.
You can see here, Rick, see the huge splits mm-hmm. the tackle takes.
So here's the option the other way. Koss gets the pitch. He's going to go to the right, get big yardage to the 50, inside the 45 to the 44 of Marblehead.
So you may ask yourself, why does the tackle take a big split? Well, it causes the defensive end to split out wider.
Ball is at the Marblehead, 44, I think it is. So that's about a 14-yard gain. And it'll be first and 10 once again for Falmouth. This time they've got two receivers wide to the left and one way out to the right side. Kelleher set up behind Kuig. Kuig keeps it, and he goes off of right tackle, gets it inside the 40 to the 37.
There's a midline option. The fullback dives, he puts it in. If the tackle comes down, he keeps the ball, and that's what he did there.
Well, it's like you put it in and take it out again. I mean, that was...
That's what it is.
Yeah. That's a 7-yard gain, second and 3. My. It's at the 40, at the 37. Pitch to the right side, to the left side, and it goes out of bounds inside the 35, maybe? That was Trent Leachman. Was that a pass or a lateral?
Pass. Well, I think it was a forward pass.
Okay. All right, so it was out in the flat. Long pass, but not long
call
pass sideways.
Call it a long handoff.
Yeah. Long pass sideways, not a lot of yardage forward, if anything. Maybe nothing. Well, maybe 5, I should say. Second and 5. At the 32. Oh, I'm sorry. It's first and 10. I missed a play somewhere. First and 10 at the 32-yard line. My bad.
Keeper.
Yep. Kuig trying to go around the left side. This time he stopped at the 32. No gain.
Good defense.
Sam Frontero with the tackle. No gain. Second and 10. Ball at the 32-yard line. Once again, Falmouth moving from right to left, and they are driving. This will be the 11th play of the drive. Pitch to Koss. He's got a lot of real estate in that right side. 20, 15. Flags all over the place. Cuts it back inside. Goes into the end zone for the touchdown. Now let's see what the flags are.
Well, I believe they're holding on the outside receivers.
Well, that was a 32-yard touchdown run then for Koss, and that will increase the lead to...
No, that's going to come back, Rick. They were holding on the outside.
You said they were holding on the receivers.
No, the receivers were holding on the
defensive back. I got you. My bad. Okay, so bring it back. Sorry, Falmouth fans. Got you all excited on that one, but that'll come back. No score. Did not go in.
Well, I'll tell you.
Oh, it did go in, but the penalties will bring it back.
They got the triple option going, so they got the pitch man is getting the pitch, and he's got two blockers in front of him with two defenders, so that's called an advantage.
Where's the ball? At the 34. So it's a 2-yard loss after all of that. 2-yard loss, it'll be second and 12, rather. He has a pitch out to the right side to Koss. He breaks a tackle and may get the first down inside the 20. Wow.
I believe that's Vasquez.
Was it? The 23 or 24. Vasquez, yep. It is Vasquez. And I think he... Where is it? It's going to be short of the first down. I don't know where the ball is, though. 30 at the 27, all right. So it's about a 7-yard, or about a 5-yard gain after all that. So it is third and 4, or third and 5 for Falmouth. Clock moving, down to 4 minutes, 14-0, Falmouth Clippers leading Marblehead. As night has
Well, this
fallen.
Is that rocket formation. They've run, every time they've run this, here it is again.
There it is, and that is a run play for Koss, sweeping the left side, gets yardage, and it's a LaFrange with a carry. Did not get the, well, Lopez makes a tackle, maybe a yard short.
Right.
Wow.
Well, they're pretty predictable out of that formation, but still they're hard to stop.
Where is it, Bill, at the 23?
Maybe the 24, between the 24 and
23. All right, we'll call up the 24, so it's less than a yard to go for the first down. Fourth and one, Cooey kept it last time on this kind of a play. This time it's Kelleher who busted out over for the first down, over the 20 to the 17.
Now they run it over guard, and they just, you know, they just block everybody down, and they're tough.
Yeah, Kelleher gets the first down. They continue the drive at the Marblehead 18. Needed one. They got six. Clock moving. 3:26 left to go. Third quarter, and Falmouth threatening to put this thing out of sight right now. And again, this will be the 14th play of the drive that, remember, began back at their 5-yard line. Here's a pass to the left flat. It is complete at the 5-yard line. And inside the 5, that's Kelleher with the reception. Paquette with the tackle. And that was Kelleher on the reception.
Yeah.
First down, first and goal.
At the 2.
At the 2. That's,
yeah, they just swung him down the sideline, and nice throw.
16-yard completion. First and goal from the 2-yard line. Falmouth, boy, Paul, again, you know, doesn't make any difference how far they got to go. They grind it out, and there they are.
Yeah, they...
Very impressive, especially on this drive. First and only drive for Falmouth in the second half so far. Kelleher, left tackle.
I believe it was a keeper.
Was it a keeper? Cooig, left tackle. He goes in. Touchdown. Yep. Cooig with the score. And that makes it 20-0. So Cooig with the 2-yard dive off of left tackle. And for Falmouth, check it out. 15 plays, 95 yards. And they get the touchdown. They've scored in every quarter now, and for Cooig, that's his first touchdown of the day. Murphy will attempt the point after and get it, and it's now 21-0. So Falmouth leads 21-0, and again, that was a 15-play, 95-yard touchdown drive, and prior to that, just before the end of the half, they put together a 10-play, 85-yard touchdown drive, and Cooig adding the 6 points on this one. So, my goodness, add another 95 yards, and they've got 292 yards of offense to Marblehead's 85. And that's pretty much what the way the score looks, 21-0. 3:05 left to go in the third quarter. Big old Falmouth flag weighing up, waving down stairs with a band, huge F on it.
Well, when I went there, it was the high school was called Lawrence High School, and they built a new high school, and they named that Falmouth High School.
Mm-hmm.
So it's changed over the years.
First, well, it's the Division 2A championship. We in Division 1, we understand that Everett cruised to a 21-7 win over Xaverian. Murphy, a squib kick this time that's going to be taken by an up back at the 27. He's going to go from sideline to sideline and now cuts it back upfield to the 40-yard line. Marino took it on one sideline and cut it back to the other sideline before he turned it upfield. So Derek Marino gets the ball for Marblehead out to the 40. Maybe right on the 40.
Just over the 40.
Well, Marblehead can't panic. They've got to get a touchdown here, and no matter how long it takes them, they've got to get the ball in the end zone.
Well, they had one decent drive in the first half, but it didn't. It stalled, and I'll have to see how far they've gotten into over the 50, but it hasn't been a lot, and it hasn't been far. Galley throws it off to the left flat, looking for a receiver at about the 40. That's Jason Lopez.
Well, they're covered. You know, I give Falmouth credit there. He's throwing into traffic, and he's got no alternatives.
Yeah, nothing has worked so far tonight on offense. Terrific Falmouth defense with Falmouth leading 21-0. Were you the Clippers back then, too? Was it the Clippers?
Yep.
Okay, Galley wants to throw. This time he throws it short. It is complete. See, screen to the left. Gets some good yardage down the sideline to the 40 of Falmouth and out of bounds. Faya.
See, I always thought that's the toughest play to stop, and I continue to exploit that. Those quick screens to the outside.
Screen left gets the first down, down to the 34 of Falmouth.
And he's got blockers out in front.
26 yards. Biggest gain of the day, I believe. And it's first and 10 for Marblehead. They're finally threatening. Does that open anything up, Paul, when you're able to do that?
Well, they have the screen, and then off that, you fake the screen, and you...
Pitch to Lopez around the right side, and he gets it inside the 30 to the 26.
One of the blockers that goes out and blocks the corner, instead of him blocking him, he breaks down like he's going to block him, and then he takes off towards the end zone. So that's it complements that.
Looked like about 8 yards, and it's a second and 2. Discussion on the field. Maybe an injury?
Well, I think he's a little shook.
Yeah, so a Falmouth player. Yeah. Falmouth player comes out, a replacement goes in. And it is first and 10 for Marblehead at the Falmouth 27. Galley again wants to throw wide open, and it's Sears with a touchdown. Manning Sears, 26-yard touchdown reception from Drew Galley, and Marblehead is finally on the boards. It's 21-6. Well, that was pretty.
Well, he was wide open.
27-yard touchdown.
And a Falmouth player, well, he's up now, but he was...
So Sears, connection from Galley, gets Marblehead on the board. That did cover 27 yards with, what do we have here, 2:17 left to go. And we've got a pretty sure-footed kicker in Paquette as well. Another injury.
Yeah, he ran a post corner, so he ran towards the goalpost and then cut it back towards the corner of the end zone, and he's wide open. I think... Falmouth was really confused.
Quick strike for Marblehead. 4 plays that time, 60 yards. And they finally are on the board. Bad snap. And a bad kick. Well, the snap threw Paquette off his pins there a little bit. He had a swivel way to his right to get the ball, and then swivel all the way back to his left to put it down. The timing was just off. So the score remains 21-6, but Marblehead is on the board. That's going to be a pick-me-up, I would think.
Yeah, it does, and now they got to stop them and get the ball back. But, you know, that's the Marblehead we're used to seeing, you know.
We got to put Bill on this. There's a massive 10-alarm fire in Cambridge, I'm told.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. 10-alarm fire in Cambridge, thanks to my lovely bride, Martha, for letting me know that. I thought she was checking up on me. All right, so it is 21-6. Jeez. 21-6, Falmouth leading this one. With still 2:17 left to go in the third quarter. And it's sort of like we're in suspended animation here in this third quarter. All of a sudden, the clock is slowed down with these scores. So for Marblehead, they now are up over 100 yards of offense. They've got 145 total and 292 total for Falmouth. Are they going to try something?
The fourth period and 2 minutes left in this. No. Don't give Falmouth the ball, you know, at the 50-yard line mm-hmm. or 40-yard line.
All right, so Paquette will kick it off. And going to come to Koss at about the 10. And he'll return it straight up the left side. Now he cuts it into the middle to the 25, to the 30, and he's carrying Marblehead tacklers all the way down to the 35-yard line, or out to the 35. So, nice return by Koss, and Marblehead starts, Falmouth starts at about the 35.
I think there are a lot of former players here for the Rams game tomorrow. They were in the Super Bowl against the Rams,
mm-hmm.
and they have kind of a reunion weekend here for the Patriots.
Yeah, but they've been showing that on the televised broadcast. Guys going up, talking about days gone by. Koig led the last touchdown drive 95 yards. Now he only has to go 65. With Falmouth leading 21-6. Kelleher is the lone back with wideouts left and right. Koss in motion. And Kuig pitches it to LaFrange, trying to cut the corner. He is stopped at the 45, but breaks tackles all the way out to the 46. I mean, he was stopped at the 40 and gets it out to the 46.
Well, that's why the option works. You got him in the open field, great speed, elusive, and you got a defender, one defender with a blocker on him trying to make the tackle.
LaFrange is everything, shifty, fast, quick. He's one of the captains. 1,150 yards coming into this game. He's listed at only 5'6", but he's 175. Ball is at the 47, and so that's a 12-yard gain for Falmouth on the first down. Another run. And this one not so much, but it gets to the 50. Kelleher with the carry. 3-yard gain. And so it's second and seven, and Falmouth just keeps on a rolling. So does the clock. 1.5 left to go in the third quarter. Falmouth up 21-7. Koss is the wing to the left, wideouts left and right. Kelleher is the back behind Kuig. And it is Koss in motion from left to right. Gets the pitch across the 50, across the 45. And driven near the sideline after the first down, about the 40. Manning Sears with the tackle.
Well, Falmouth, you know, the line splits, and you know, a lot of people don't look at the line, but to the right guard is taking a huge split from the center, and then the right tackle is taking a huge split from the guard, but the left guard is shoe-to-shoe with the center, and the left tackle takes a big split. So they're making Marblehead change their defense alignments by their splits.
First and 10 at the 40. And Kelleher up the middle, pushing the pile forward, close to the 35. He won't go down. But he has stopped. Marblehead thinks they came up with the ball, but they didn't. And it's going to be, let's see, at the, right at the 35. So another 5 yards for Falmouth. They keep on moving. Marblehead can't stop them. Clock showing 27 seconds left to go in this third quarter. And again, Coach Almeida.
What's impressive about Falmouth is they held on to the ball, too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we run this option between the schemes and the pitches.
Koss gets the pitch, and who's going to stop him? He cuts it outside, 30, 25. Ball is loose. And Falmouth has recovered, according to our spotter, Bill Newell. And the third quarter comes to a close after the run with Falmouth up 21-7. We'll be back for the fourth.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
MSO Newsports.com. MSO Radio.
Well, Falmouth started this drive at their own 35-yard line, and they're down to the Marblehead 27 right now as we start the fourth quarter with Falmouth leading 21-7. Touchdowns by Vasquez, Kelleher, and Kohig for...
Well, they first down you to death.
Falmouth, yep.
So, you know, they just keep going and going and getting first down. You know, sometimes it takes three downs to get it, but they eventually get it.
Only touchdown for Marblehead. Scored a few minutes ago with 2:30 left to go in the third quarter. Manning Sears from Drew Galley. First and 10 for Falmouth, now moving from left to right.
Oh,
run
nice
play
defense.
Up the middle. Yep, Kelleher slammed backwards after about a yard gain.
Well, they've done a great job stopping the fullback dive for the most part.
He still gets two to the 25, second and 8. First play of the fourth quarter. And they do have the wide splits. You're right, they are way wide. Here's a pitch, run play. It's going to be stopped in the backfield. This may be first loss of the day. Back to the 34, a one-yard loss. Koss not able to get out of the backfield.
Again, that tight double slot formation, that's what they run off it.
I said 35 back to the 25, and it's back to the 26, so it is a one-yard loss.
This is big for Marblehead.
Well, third down and 8, almost 9 to go for the first down. Kuig is the quarterback, and he's going to look things over. Now take a break and look to the sideline. So everybody relaxes on offense, and now they'll get set again. Crowd really quiet here, both cities quieted at the moment. And Kuig passes, pitches it back to the end around to the 30. Oh, look out! At the 17-yard line, Koss went airborne, and I hate to see that, and he got hit mid-air. And I don't think he gets the first down. He did get it. Boy, I hate to see guys leapfrog like that. Yeah, he got it. So Koss gets the first down, but almost got...
I think Koss is the grandson of the former Falmouth coach Don Ruggieri.
Ball was at the 15 after the 11-yard gain. And Falmouth threatening once again here in this fourth quarter, leading 21-7 early on in the fourth. MIAA Division 2A championship game, Falmouth from start to finish so far. And Kuig keeps it, and he's going to be upended at the 17. Maybe a two-yard loss.
Well, that's the midline option where he read it wrong and should have given it to the fullback.
Bo Millett with the tackle. Going to put it back to the 16, so it's a one-yard loss. So second down and 11 for Falmouth. And, of course, Falmouth taking their time now back in the huddle. Clock moving at 7:33. Falmouth looking for their 13th win of the season. Marblehead coming in at 11-0. Kuig under center with Kelleher behind him. And it's a keeper, I think, all the way around to the left side, to the left end, to the 10, to the 5. Who's got the ball? LaFrange.
I think it's
stopped at about the 1.
Is it? Yeah, nice run.
3.
Yep, ball is at the 3, first and goal. I was watching Kuig the whole way. So it's at the Marblehead 3-yard line on the first down run by LaFrange. Gets another first down, first and goal. And, boy, this Falmouth offense just relentless. They just keep pounding away. Well up over 300 yards now. Kelleher, the handoff, goes into the end zone. And it's a touchdown for Falmouth. They lead 27-6.
I don't think a lot of people realize how hard it is to stop this offense when it's run this efficiently, you know.
Well, Notre Dame had trouble with it the other day.
Yeah, it's really difficult to stop all aspects of it. You might stop the dive, but then the quarterback keeper or the pitch and the pass off it.
Kelleher's second touchdown of the day from 3 yards away. And
Hit the crossbar.
Hit the crossbar, and it misses the extra point. Murphy does not get the point after, and the score stays at 27-6. But it is 27-6 with 7:13 left to go in the ball game. And you know, coach, this is another 11 plays and 65 yards. They've had on their touchdown drives 7 for 70, 10 for 85, 15 for 95, now 11 for 65.
Well, the same kids are playing offense that are playing defense for Marblehead, so, you know, it's a long time to be on the defensive side of the ball, and then you get on offense, and how much have you got left?
And again, we're going to have to wrap this up rather quickly when the game is over. There is another radio station coming in here to broadcast the last two games of the evening. Another amazing effort put on by the MIAA and by the New England Patriots organization. Just amazing.
Well, they've done a lot for high school football. All the clinics are here now, and obviously the Super Bowls are here. So they've really made a commitment to help high school football in Massachusetts.
357 yards of total offense for Falmouth, 145 for Marblehead, and the Magicians will return from the 15. It's Faya up the middle, takes it outside to the 30, where he stopped. First and 10, Marblehead at their own 30. With 7:04 left to go. Now, the Magicians did score quickly on their last possession. Took them four plays, and not a whole lot of clock time.
Rick, before I forget it, I
51 seconds.
Some of my teammates who are listening that I've mentioned their names. And
go ahead.
Robert Babapina and Arthur Gilbert, Mike Carlo, Greg Anderson, Jack Callahan. They're all listening to the game, and they were great teammates to have and good football players. Babapina played for the Cleveland Browns for about 4 or 5 years, so.
And where are they located? Are they in the area?
Well, some are around, but some are in Connecticut and some are in California.
Two-yard gain for Lopez, and now Galley looks to the right, throws it underneath. It's complete to Sears, who goes to the 35. That's a short gain, maybe 3 yards. So it's third and 5 for Marblehead. And it seems weird to see the ball out in the middle of the field all the time, because in high school the hash marks are way out where the numerals are.
Yeah.
Third and 5 for Marblehead. Empty backfield with trips to the left and two receivers way out wide to the right. Galley looking, throws it downfield, and I think Sears may have caught it at the 45.
Beautiful.
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Paquette. It's Paquette with a reception at the 45. It's first down. Marblehead out at the Falmouth 45.
Well, those outside screens, I think, are opening things up in the middle, too.
20-yard gain. Galley right back, looking again over the middle. Now he's going to have to run out to the right side. Nobody there. Throws it underneath, and this one's complete to Paquette at about the 37.
Well, he's not getting much pressure on him now, and he's having time to set his feet, and he's very accurate.
Let's see where the ball is. I think it's at the 37, maybe. Yeah, it is. About an 8-yard gain. Back in the shotgun, Galley with nobody there but himself. Got a man in motion. Bill said, I'm corrected. It's the 38. I'm incorrect. And this one's complete out of the flat.
Again.
And that's Marino. He may go. Nope. He's going to break a tackle inside the 30 down to the 20-yard line and maybe down to the 15.
Flag.
I know. The Falmouth defender just pushed him away. So it's going to be an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Derek Marino gets the first down, and they're going to get more yardage on top of that. He probably got it to the 19. So it's personal foul, which will put the ball probably at about the 10.
Vasquez got a little ambitious there.
Is it at the 10? Just inside the 10, it looks like. So it's first and goal from just inside the 10. They cannot get the first down. They've got to score. So Galley this time is in the pistol with a back behind him and a back to the left of him. And this play is blown up before it
starts.
Big
Falmouth call timeout.
Falmouth timeout. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're right. So Falmouth takes it. We should mention that you don't have 5 timeouts like you usually do in high school.
No, to have the games move along here, they go to 10-minute quarters and also 3 timeouts a half. They also, in the playoffs, when I was coaching, they reduced the number of minutes, feeling that the boys couldn't play 44 minutes in the playoff games. I can see it here at Gillette because you got so many games. But
wasn't there a time, too, we moved it from 11 to 12? Was it Thanksgiving? You remember that?
Yeah, you had to make up your mind what you're going to do.
Yeah. And, all right, so it's first and goal for Marblehead. They have the ball just inside the 10. And Galley looking to pass. Now he's going to run to his right at the 10. Cuts it back, and he's going to be wrestled down at about the 8, I guess.
There's a time to go down.
Tell that to Gronk. All right, so it's about a 2-yard gain at the Falmouth 8. And the clock showing 5:17 left to go with that 27-6 lead. Galley stutter-stepping in the backfield. He's going to run with it. Or is he going to throw it? He's going to throw it.
Oh, wow.
Is it caught?
What a great catch.
What are they saying? Marino caught it, but was he out of bounds?
No, he's in bounds, I think.
Well, it should be a touchdown then. I don't see any signal. Do you?
It's a touchdown.
All right, touchdown. So it is from Galley to Marino.
Well, that's amazing because the defender undercut the pass, and he had plenty of time. He just missed the ball.
So Derek Marino scoring for Marblehead.
Oh, just a great pass.
Mm-hmm.
He threw it where only Marino could catch it.
8 yards from Galley. And for Marblehead, that's 8 plays and 70 yards as Paquette will attempt the point after. Doesn't make it. Oh,
it does. Make
it. It just limps over the crossbar. Mercy. He got it.
I'm a little shocked because that's one of their strengths is extra points in both of them.
27-13. All right, we'll take a break with Marblehead leading this one by that score of, check it, Falmouth leading it by a score of 27-13. We'll be back.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sauk Asian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sauk Asian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SaukAsianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sauk Asian Sportswear is the place to go.
Well, a couple of touchdowns for Marblehead late have made the score respectable. It's 27-13, but 5 minutes left to go. Falmouth has been so impressive on offense, Coach.
Well, they certainly have, and until, you know, lately, defensively, they were very impressive. But, you know, this is what we're used to seeing Galley do and the receivers from Marblehead. This will be the onside kick.
Yep, it's an onside kick that's going to bounce around inside the 50.
I think they may have gotten it.
And looks like Marblehead has it.
They're saying they do.
Really nice kick.
Yeah, and it's Drew Galley who comes up with it.
You got it.
No, number one. I thought it was seven. Number one on your program. And that is Devin Romain. How about that?
Now the officials are talking, so that's not good.
Did it go 10? Yeah, it did go 10. It's not good. It did go 10. Oh, boy.
Flag here.
Yeah, I think they're going to save it. Oh.
Offside in the defense.
No, offside the kicking team. Boy, I'd like to see the replay on that.
Well, we probably can.
Do they have that here?
Oh, you can call. Throw this. Yeah, there's your replay. There's your replay.
Yeah, they're right.
Yeah, he was way
the
offside.
The player just next to the kicker.
Yeah, way offside.
That was offside.
Yeah, nope. So bring it back. Kick it again. Marblehead does not have the ball.
Well, they're going to do it again because they've got to.
Now this will give Falmouth. If the Falmouth recovers a short field.
You know, I would move those other guys up and let it go through the front line and have the second line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a different one. They're going to try a different
other side.
Onside kick.
Okay, Paquette squibs it, and it's caught by the Falmouth receiver at the 47 or 48-yard line of Marblehead. Get the number of the guy with the ball. Somebody hurt down there?
Yeah, he's hurt his arm.
Yeah. Number 12 caught the ball, and we've got a number 55 coming off. In a
number of
pain.
Years ago, they changed the rule on the onside kick where you have to have at least 4 on each side of the ball, which kind of changed the way you can do it. I kind of disagree with that.
Terrence Harris is the Falmouth player who caught the ball. And another offside. Apparently, I think. Yep, another offside puts the ball, taking the penalty after the return. So, Falmouth starts at the Marblehead 43. At the Marblehead 43. And we've got 5:07 left to go in the game, and it's a comfortable 14-point lead for Falmouth. Pitch to Koss, trying to turn the corner. Stopped at the 40. About a 3-yard gain. Aiden Gillis with another tackle. Clock still moves. How many tackles does Gillis have today? Boy, he's got about a dozen. Second down and 7. After the 3-yard gain to the... It's at the 38. Is that another penalty flag down there?
I'm sorry. No, I'm on the stick. My bad. I'm sorry. 42.
All right.
I think what's happened is they thought he fumbled. And
yeah.
He did fumble, but after the whistle.
Well, I put... All right. So, So, it's about a 1-yard gain. This time it's up the middle. This may go all the way. It's going to be a touchdown. See you later for Falmouth. It is Gates Kelleher gets shoved from behind 8 yards deep in the end zone, and that will draw a flag. Long after the touchdown had been scored by Kelleher, who romped in from 38 yards out.
Well, you kind of knew that was going to happen eventually. They've been stopping the fullback dive the whole game, and there they just popped it.
Third touchdown of the day for Kelleher. From 38 yards away, just that dive up the middle. Didn't take Falmouth long that time. Two plays, 43 yards. And they increased the lead now to 33-13 with 4:06, 4:08 left. They get this one? They do.
Yes, they do.
So Murphy gets this one through the uprights, and now it's 34-13. Third touchdown of the day for Kelleher. He's got scores from 3 yards out, from 3 yards out, and now from 38 yards away. Looked like he might have been, could have been caught from behind, but no. Had another run. Had another 43 yards. And you've got 390 yards of offense for Falmouth.
Well, they're all there who claim to be offensively. And I think they're better defensively than we gave them credit for.
Well, we'll start wrapping this thing up here soon and give you the quick scoring plays, but just it's been all Falmouth. Marblehead with a couple of scores late. Manning Sears from Drew Galley, 27-yard connection with 2:30 left to go in the third, and then Marino from Galley, 8 yards with 5:07 left to go in the game. But other than that, it's all Falmouth. Another ground ball that's going to be fielded at the 28-yard line of Marblehead, returned to about the 37. Derek Marino with a return.
I believe they just don't want to kick deep to Lopez, and that's why they've been doing that.
Remember an All-Star game this summer?
Yeah. I forgot about that. Nothing like squib kicking in an All-Star
game. Yeah, I know. Okay, so it's 1st and 10, Marblehead, and they're out at their own 37 to start this drive. And now they're back down by 21 again. So Galley will give it to Lopez on a draw, and he goes right up the middle across the 40 to the 45. Maybe an 8-yard gain. He ran about 20, but he got about 8. He was so far back in the backfield. He was way behind Galley, and Galley was... in the shotgun. Clock moving, 3:42 left to go in this one, D2A. Two more games to go. The winners today so far, East Bridgewater that we know of, Mashpee and Everett. Galley in the empty backfield. Looking to his left, pump fakes, throws it over to the right. It is complete to Fea at the 50, down to the 45, and out of bounds inside the Falmouth 45. So Fea gets the first down, and the ball is placed at the Falmouth
42, I guess it is. 43. It is 40. 13-yard gain. Again, Galley. This time he throws it to the left, and it's caught by Fea. Leaping catch out of bounds. Short gain, though. Maybe just across the 40.
Well, the philosophy is give them the short ones and just don't let them score.
Maybe a 5-yard gain, second and 5 at the Falmouth 37. Or I guess it's at the 35. So Paquette is in the slot to the right, and Paquette looks to his right, but he gets away from one tackle. Now he throws it to the left. It's up for grabs. Is it intercepted? It is. Back at the 5-yard line.
Well, he had him open quick.
By Coig.
And he was scrambling, and then by the time he threw it, he was covered and overthrew it.
Yep. Coig intercepts it back at the 5. And if there was any doubt, it probably should have been, but that'll take care of it with Falmouth taking over at their own 5-yard line. They've already got one 95-yard touchdown drive to their credit tonight. It's in the bank, 34-13 Falmouth. And for Coach Derek Almeida, he's in his third season. That will be his 25th win so far, 25-10. Over 500 points scored for Falmouth this year. It's at the 9, not the 5, all right? So it's at the 9. 2:47 left to go, and that's it. He'll send out wideouts left and right. And Coig handoff to Kelleher, I believe. Across the 10. Maybe the 11 or 12. Well, don't forget, we're getting ready for winter sports. We'll have hockey and basketball coming up for you in a couple of weeks. Check out the website. We'll have the schedule up there for you. Ball is at the 13 after the 4-yard gain for Kelleher. Second and 6.
Well, it's a tough nut to swallow for Coach Rudloff. You know, this is his second time, and I know he really wanted to win this game, but certainly Falmouth is a very good team and nothing to be ashamed about.
Run play, but it's going to be a penalty on Falmouth for the motion, and we'll drop it back to the 8-yard line. So we'll start wrapping this thing up here with a couple of minutes left to go as game opened up with Falmouth starting off from their own 30-yard line, and they put together a 7-play, 70-yard touchdown drive with 7:47 left to go. It was 7-0 first quarter. Vasquez from Coig on a 33-yard touchdown pass and catch. And why the stop? Clock is moving, and Falmouth's just taking their time getting what they want for a play, and somebody's going to take a timeout here. Clock's still moving. Now it stops at 1:47. Then it was a 14-0 lead with 3:20 left to go in the first half as Gates Kelleher got the first of his 3 touchdowns. That was a 10-play, 85-yard touchdown drive with Kelleher scoring from 3 yards out, 14-0 at the half. Who takes it?
Oh,
Falmouth.
Falmouth?
All right. Timeout. And then in the third quarter, after shutting Marblehead down on 3 and out their first possession, Coig engineered a 15-play, 95-yard touchdown drive for Falmouth that increased the score to 21-0, and that sort of set the tone and let you know who was in charge at that point. However, Marblehead came back with 2:30 left to go in the third on a Drew Galley pass to Manning Sears that covered 27 yards, and that was a 4-play, 60-yard touchdown march. So with 2:30 left to go, it was 21-6, 2:30 left to go in the third quarter as Coig carries the ball. And Marblehead will take another timeout. And Coig gets the ball where, to the 11 or further out? I'll have to see where they put the ball down. Another timeout for Marblehead, but it's academic. A minute and 31 seconds left to go in this one as it's 34-13 Falmouth. And we had you at 21-6 with our recap. In the fourth quarter, it was Kelleher from 3 yards out again. That was an 11-play, 65-yard touchdown drive for Falmouth, 27-6. And then a couple of minutes later, it was Marino scoring for Marblehead to cut the gap to 27-13. But then a minute after that, it was Kelleher scoring from 38 yards out, putting the score to 34-13, which is where we are right now with a minute 31 left to go.
Coach, I remember back in August how hot it was and how long the season looked ahead, and there it is.
I know.
The long road to Gillette.
Seems to go by faster every year, but, you know, let's give Marblehead credit. They had a great season, and they had certainly created a lot of excitement for the community and the school, and, you know, they just ran into a really very good football team today.
Falmouth runs the ball again. Kelleher carries it to the 20. It'll be a first down, I believe. Yep, it's a first down. What else?
I would, it's funny, I usually would put the other kids in. I always thought a kid could say, I took a snap at Gillette Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was on the field and I play, but.
What a terrific crowd, too, for both schools.
Yeah.
Really good turnout.
One of the better crowds I've seen here.
How far is Falmouth from here?
Well, it's probably an hour and a half, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is sort of midway for both schools.
65 miles.
Millage, yeah.
Millage beat Maynard in Division 4A.
Thank you.
30.
What was it?
30-18
over Maynard. All right, so Millis beats Maynard. Where are you guys from?
Attleboro, who were covering the Duxbury Shrewsbury game.
And then the King Philip.
Okay.
All right.
King Philip Reddy
game. Oh, I see. So you're not the Duxbury home?
No.
Okay.
And by the way, I will make a few caustic comments about that.
Okay. A little political commentary here as the clock winding down. And 45 seconds left to go. We've discussed that, Coach. Duxbury up next in their game, and we're going to have to clear out of here, as we said, very quickly. But Duxbury against Shrewsbury in the Division II game. And Beverly, of course, running into the buzzsaw against Duxbury. 27 seconds left to go, clock moving. And Falmouth fans all on their feet and cheering.
Well, the Marblehead fans
yes,
are cheering, too.
They are. That's great.
Great season, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Everybody's cheering. As well it should be. This is nice. 8 seconds, 7 seconds. Falmouth out on the field celebrating. Marblehead dejected. And it's a 34-13 Falmouth win. Coach, some final thoughts?
Well, I think Falmouth was everything they were said to be. Offensively, I think that the tough part about that offense was they run every aspect of it well. You know, that in a lot of times you'll see people run the triple option, but they never pitch the ball because they're afraid it's going to end up. They didn't have one fumble. They pitched
and
the ball numerous
it.
Times.
Yeah.
Right. And look at how many ball carriers had positive yardage for them. And when they needed to, they could throw the ball. And but I also got to give Falmouth credit defensively. I thought they played really well defensively against a really difficult offense to stop. That also has some real good weapons. So they were the better team tonight, and I think Falmouth its enrollment went down, and they really struggled with football for a number of years. And I think this is a big plus for the program, and give Coach Almeida credit and a fellow player that was the head coach there, Ed Winslow. He's done a great job helping out, and he's retired now, but I see him hobbling down there. He had his Achilles tendon fixed the other day. So Marblehead, great season. Unfortunately, they ran into a really tough team, and Falmouth played very well today.
All right, that'll do it. Final score 34-13 as Falmouth is the Division IIA champion for the MIAA football playoffs. On behalf of Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, and John Squires, I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsSports.com.